All right, go with me, if you would, to Esther chapter 1, just before Job. Esther chapter 1, we just looked at the entire story of Esther Wednesday night. And I kept thinking about this book throughout the rest of the week last week. And I thought tonight we could just slow down. We went pretty fast. And I thought tonight we could slow down and just ponder a few things about our Lord. The entire story is the story of the gospel. That's why we looked at 10 chapters Wednesday night. That whole story is, and it's so perfect, isn't it? It is a wonderful gospel story. Tonight, I just want us to look at our Lord. I just want us to, from different angles, different views, I just want us to ponder our Lord. There's a story, I've told it many times, that elder told that young preacher one time. He said, Christ is in every text of Scripture. Every single text. He said, in every scripture, there's a road that leads to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Our job is to find that road and get on it. And that's what I want to do. There are some beautiful things to ponder about our Lord in this. And the first thing I want us to ponder is how great He truly is. Just how great He truly is. You may remember Wednesday night, we said that King Ahasuerus in this story represents God. He represents God the Father, God's authority, God's holiness. And we said that this man Mordecai and Esther, this woman Esther, who they're not mentioned in chapter 1, but we said they both represented the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there is only one God. All right, we said Ahasuerus represents God, and they represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's only one God. There's just one God. This is one of the things I cannot explain. I honestly cannot. No man can explain this. Not one man on this earth can explain this. There are three persons, one God. You explain that. You just can't. Christ made intercession to the great judge. He did. He made intercession to the great judge for the sin of His people. But John chapter 5 says, all judgment has been committed to the Son. Isn't that right? The intercessor who is pleading to the judge is the judge. And both hold up. Both are true. One is not undone by the other. Isaiah 9 says, a child is born. What should we call him? Call him God the Father. That's his name, God the Father. So somebody will say, well, then they are one person. No. He said, I and my Father are one. But He said, there are three that bear record in heaven. Isn't that what He said? Three bear record in heaven. Three separate persons. When we get to glory, there are three separate persons. And we're going to view all of them in one God. One God. That's great. The scripture says, can a man by searching find out God? Can't do it. We're going to spend eternity pondering the depths of who our God is. We're going to spend eternity pondering the depths of who God is. And we're never going to find out. We're never going to find out. We're never going to exhaust the fullness of God. Never. And yet he said, all the fullness of the Godhead is confined in the body of one man. That's just amazing, isn't it? So let's look at King Ahasuerus tonight and let's see the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the point, okay? There's one God. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 says, now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 180 days. He hosted a very rich and extravagant feast. An extremely rich and extravagant feast. Excess upon excess. And he did it for all of his princes and all of his servants, and he did it for all the nobles and all the princes of 127 provinces. And he did it for a half of a year, 6 months, 180 days. You know that he did not exhaust everything he had. You know he didn't blow it all. We're just draining everything dry. I'm sure that that was a drop in the bucket compared to what he had. I'm sure it was. Can you imagine the wealth it would take to host a feast like that for that many people every single day for 6 months? Can you imagine the wealth? I mean, for thousands and thousands. That made me think of Solomon. All right? Solomon was wealthier than he was. No earthly kingdom was as wealthy as Solomon's. Never has there been, and never will there be, an earthly kingdom as wealthy as Solomon's. This actual king Ahasuerus, he threw a feast for, I'm sure it would be thousands of people, and he did it every day for 6 months. But we have read many times, we're not going to turn over there, we've read many times in 1 Kings 4, what Solomon's provisions were on his table. You remember that? All the animals he slew. Solomon fed thousands of people every day of his reign. This guy did it every day for 6 months. Solomon did it every single day that he was in power. He put the spread out there. Can you imagine the wealth of his glorious kingdom? Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 42 says, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Boy, that king Ahasuerus was great. Solomon was greater. But a greater than Solomon is here. As great as these men appear to be, Christ is infinitely greater. His kingdom is infinitely greater. His riches are infinitely greater. He is preparing a feast that is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, the scripture does not say that it's ever going to end. Our minds just assume it's going to end because all feasts end, right? Well, why do we think that? It does not say that it's ever going to end. There is going to be in attendance a number that no man can number, not even Albert Einstein. No man can number. They're coming out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue on this earth. And every single one of them are clothed in the white robes of His righteousness. He provides all the food. He provides all the garments. And His provisions are literally, actually going to continue forever. Never going to exhaust them. Never, ever, ever going to exhaust them. You think of the greatness of our Lord and King. To say that the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to Him, that's nothing. We say, well, the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs. That's nothing. To say that all the gold and the silver in the mines is His, that does not even begin to describe the riches of His glorious kingdom. It does not even begin. All right, now go with me back to Esther chapter 1. Verse 5 says, "And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings and pillars of marble. And beds were of gold and silver." Now watch this part of it. It says, "Upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble." This floor was made out of all these beautiful colors. He describes the court of this palace. And this floor that they were walking on was made out of all these beautiful colors. That makes me think of the feet of our Lord. It makes me think of the place where He stands. Let me show you something in Exodus 24. Exodus 24, I stand amazed in the presence. I love this. Exodus 24, verse 9 says, "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel." I love that. Can you imagine? There are all those men go up, and there they are. They're looking at the God of Israel. "And there was under His feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in His clearness." Now here they are looking at the God of Israel, and they can see under His feet, it appears as though a great craftsman has made bricks out of sapphire stones and laid them in a great pavement under His feet, and they're transparent blue like the sky, like the clearness of the sky. And there they are looking at God, looking at all this pavement of sapphire under His feet. What does all that mean? I have no idea, but I glory in it. I'm in awe of it. I don't have any idea, but it is just glorious to me to think that's what they saw. He's so great. His dust, what He wipes His feet on, are bricks of sapphire stones. Just amazing. Go with me, if you would, to Revelation 1. Revelation 1, this is speaking of our Lord, verse 15. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. John said, I saw the Lord, and this is what he looked like. And he went through these different character traits of his. And he said in verse 15, his feet looked like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Beautiful, polished, fine brass. Our Lord stood in the fiery furnace of God's wrath, didn't he? Literally, while he was on this earth, he stood in a furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, didn't he? Nebuchadnezzar threw three men in there and then looked, and he said, I think I see a fourth man. And you know, it says about those three men that they were not burned, and nothing happened to their clothes. The smell of smoke wasn't even on them. I wonder if our Lord took all the burn. I wonder if our Lord suffered all the effect of the fire for them. And now John sees him, and he's standing at the glorious God, and he looks down and he says, it looks like his feet burned in a furnace. That's glorious, isn't it? Look with me at Revelation 4. Revelation 4 says, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper. A jasper stone is clear as crystal. Absolute purity. Verse 3 says, and a sardine stone. That's a ruby. Blood red. He looked like water and blood. He looked like sanctification and justification. That's what the one who sits on the throne looks like. And it says, there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. As he sits there on that throne, there's a color all the way, a glow that comes out of this throne, and it looks like an emerald. And I don't have any idea what that means, but again, I glory in it. Just amazing, the glory of the Lord. Now go with me back to the text, Esther chapter 1, verse 7. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. Our Lord served wine the night that he instituted his table. And he said, I will not drink this again until I drink it new with you in the kingdom. That wine represents the cup of his suffering. That wine represents his blood that was poured out. We are going to drink that wine with him throughout eternity. And in that cup, we are going to remember his blood. Throughout eternity. We'll never forget the blood that redeemed us. Never. Verse 9 says, and the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. Vashti, as we saw Wednesday night, represents sin against this great king. Verse 10 says, on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment, and the next unto him was Karshina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Merez, Marsena, and Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, on which sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto Queen Vashti according to law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, we have heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan, for he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, into every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. Sin took place. Punishment for sin had to take place. We know that our king is Christ, and his bride is subject to him, and we bow to him, don't we? We're his bride. We bow to him. Sin took place. Punishment had to take place. And the same thing that happened to Vashti is going to happen to every soul that God leaves alone. They said this is going to spread. This heart of rebellion is going to spread. Everybody's going to do it, and everybody has. And if God leaves a sinner to himself or herself, this same punishment is going to happen. But in chapter 1, and this is as far as we're going, chapter 1, our God wove the thread of the gospel through this entire chapter. And he did it in the names of all these men that we just read. There are five places listed, five locations listed. In verse 1, it says, India and Ethiopia, two places there. Verse 2 says Shushan, the palace. And verse 3 says Persia and Media. Okay, five locations. India means flee away. It means set free, deliverance. Ethiopia means black. It represents sin. Shushan means lily. Our Lord said, I am the lily of the valley. Persia means pure, splendid, glorious. Media means middle land, mediator. All right, in those places, this is what it says. There's deliverance from sin. In the lily, the pure, splendid, glorious mediator. There's deliverance. We can be set free. And here is that deliverance in our Lord. Okay, this will only take a second. Ahasuerus, his name means, each of these names point us to Christ. Ahasuerus means, I will be silent and poor. I'll be silent and poor. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. The next name we come to is Vashti, the sinner. Her name means made beautiful. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the gospel, isn't it? Made beautiful. Verse 10 now gives us seven names, seven servants. That's the number of perfection, the number of Christ. Isaiah said, "Behold my servant. He shall not fail." He's going to set the prisoners free. Verse 10, we see this. The name Mehuman means faithful. Faithful. He is faithful that promised. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. That's Christ. Faithful. The next name is Biztha. It means payment. The song says, "Sing, O sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid my debt, and set me free." The next name, Harbona, means the one who rides the ass, the rider of the colt. Hosanna, oh say. That's our Lord, isn't it? The next name, Bigtha, means in the wine press. He said, "I've trodden the wine press alone, the wine press of God's wrath." That press pressed the blood out of our Lord. The next name, Abagtha, means God-given. "For God so loved this sinful, wicked world, he gave his only begotten Son." The next name, Zethar, means star. And I'll say something about that in just a second. The next one is Carcass. It means severe. He bore the severity of God's wrath. And what was the result of that? All of those things he accomplished. What was the result? Seven more names. The number of perfection. This time it's wise men. The result of his accomplishment. If you look at verse 14, the first name is Karshina. His name means famed, respected, admired, celebrated. Every knee is going to bow. Shethar means a star. Two names. They both mean a star. One given in his humiliation. One given in his exaltation. Revelation 22, he said, "I'm two stars." That's what he said. He said, "I am the morning star. The sun come down." Somebody pointed out to me one time, you cannot look at the sun until it touches the earth. The lower it gets, the more visible it becomes, the more you can look at it. And that's our Lord, that morning sun with healing in his wings. And our Lord said, "I'm the bright sun, the bright star, high noon star, Son of righteousness, Son of glory, honor, strength. No man can look on him in all his strength." The next name, Admatha, means a testimony to them. A testimony of covenant, a testimony of promise. That's who Christ is. Testimony. The next name, Tarshish, means the precious stone. The tried stone, the cornerstone. The whole house is built on it. The name also means jasper. And we read that's the one who sits on the throne. That's what he looks like, jasper. The next name, Merez, means lofty. Where is our God? He is seated in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. The next name, Marcena, means worthy. Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. The last name is Memucan. His name means dignified and majestic. Peter said, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty." His majesty the king. A king sits on that throne. That king is our redeemer. That king loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And because of that, we are going to live with him forever. We're going to live with him forever. We're going to be eyewitnesses of his excellent majesty. We're going to be able to approach his throne boldly. And we're going to be able to sit down right there and behold his beauty. We sang just a minute ago, when with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous. How wonderful. How glorious. How glorious. All right, let's all stand together.